Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
We got games tonight. We got basketball tonight. Both New York teams involved. Knicks at Atlanta, 7 p.m., a game you can see on ESPN. Then you have the Nets at Boston. That's on ABC. That's 8:30, and you can hear it right here on ESPN Radio. And then the late game, Clippers at Dallas, 9:30, also on ESPN TV. And that, of course, for the Clippers, that they've got to now hold off going down 0-3, as they are on the road now after losing the first two games at home. So they couldn't get it done in Staples. But key, the Lakers did. Last night at Staples, game three, Lakers 109, Phoenix 95. So after losing game one, the Lakers did.
Really?
Yeah, surprising, aren't you? Isn't it surprising? They dropped game one. A lot of concern about how soft AD played in that game. Since then, they've changed everything. They win game two, now they win game three, and they spend a lot of time in the paint. No fadeaways from Anthony Davis. He had another big game. A huge performance for him, 34 points, 11 rebounds, gets the free throw line again like he did in game two. Was game two 21 free throw attempts? Game three was 14. So LeBron not putting up the huge stats, just 21-9, but he's setting up AD and making sure he's not trying to be a small forward. You're a big, get in the paint, and he's getting it done there.
Well, I think you self-check after game one. Mm-hmm. You put your toe in the water. We allowed you to do that to gauge the temperature. And he came out, obviously, in game two, and he handled business. Early on in game three, there were some questions on whether or not he was going to go back to game one and not game two. But the second half, clearly, Anthony Davis, for whatever reasons it was, whether it was a stare down, whether it was a look, no matter what it was, he decided to come to the party and play. And I think the Lakers only are going to go so far as Anthony Davis takes us. And that sounds really weird because this team is about LeBron James. But LeBron James is at a stage in his career where he can't do what he did in Cleveland, put everybody on his back. He needs the help. That's why he went out and recruited firsthand Anthony Davis to join the Lakers, because he realized that. And so I'm happy for AD. It quiets, it kind of calms us down in L.A. off his butt for a little bit, and he could just enjoy the two victories in back-to-backs against the Suns.
Monica, do you think, as much as it looks like statistically LeBron – taking a back seat, AD getting all the points, you know, putting up the big numbers now, another 30-point game for him.
Mm-hmm.
But
I would have put the sweatshirt on, but I had to do other stuff. I might put it on in the break. I'm listening.
Monica has her Georgetown
sweatshirt. Hold on, let me flex one time. Y'all know who I am. Shout out to my squad.
Monica, a superstar at Georgetown. And Georgetown basketball history, they have Monica, I think it's Patrick Ewing, Allen Iverson, Monica McNutt, then Dikembe Mutombo.
She over here cold.
I am cold. Y'all got on sweatshirts. I had to go do other stuff. I had to put on a collar.
It feels good this way, though. You can operate this way. But Monica, I'm getting back to this, though. LeBron not deferring, but instead maybe trying to lift his guy up early in the playoffs, saying, no, I need you at a high level, so let's get you there so that we can compete once we get past a series like this.
I feel like LeBron said this in so many words in the bubble last year after they won. When the two sat down with Rachel Nichols, right? Like, there's a reason that Key said it. They recruited one another. And it felt like then maybe he was giving AD the key, sort of, kind of, but in a driver's ed car in which he still could press the gas and
the brake,
and the brake, right?
Right?
Yeah. And so, listen, LeBron's sheer presence on the floor, whether he got an ankle injury or not, is enough to change the entire dynamic of a game. What AD seems to have gleaned from him most is this idea of putting your foot on the gas and not allowing another team to dictate what you're going to do, right? Like, I'm going to create the action as opposed to responding to whatever it is you did, other team is presenting. Game one, he was responding, and DeAndre Ayton went off. I personally was not in on this idea that Ayton would be swallowed up. I think he's been solid through the series. AD is better.
They can't guard the pick and roll, though.
Yeah.
They cannot guard that pick and roll, and that's where they dominated in that game. Now, can Kawhi Leonard guard Luka in the other game tonight? Now, the other L.A. game, that'll be tonight. As the Mavericks go into L.A. and they take two games on the road, and now the series moves to Dallas, there'll be a big crowd there, and the Clippers are facing a must-win. It's a must-win. We know nobody comes back from down 0-3. And now listen to this. We had Derek Harper on yesterday. He does Mavericks TV, former Nick, former Maverick. He talked about the Luka Kawhi matchup, and what he said about Kawhi here, he's basically saying he wants no part of this.
I keep hearing people say they need to put Kawhi on Luka. Kawhi doesn't want to see Luka, and I have a lot of respect for Kawhi, but can't stop him. I mean, I've seen Luka have 42-point triple-doubles against Kawhi's defense, and Kawhi is a solid defender, but Luka keeps people off balance so much. He's not the quickest guy in the world. He's not the fastest guy, but he plays at a real unique pace that really gives any kind of defense problems, and then he has so much size and so much strength. When he gets in the lane, he's virtually unstoppable.
So are we going to learn something about the Clippers tonight, or do we already know?
I think you're going to learn something about the coaching of Ty Lue tonight. And it's not that they're going to win the game or whatever, but this notion that Kawhi wants no part of Luka, I don't buy it. This is when you now have to – if I'm Kawhi, I'm now like, you know what, man? Just – y'all, I got this. I got this.
We're not switching.
No, I got this.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I got this. I got this full tilt. I'll go underneath. I'll go around, whatever it is. I got this. This is where Kawhi now needs to step up and say, I got it, coach. I got it.
Are you buying what Harper said, that he doesn't want that smoke?
No. He hasn't so far, right?
But is that more Ty Lue's coaching scheme?
This is what I will say. I would buy scheme and coaching if we were talking about an upstart Memphis Grizzlies squad with young talent. I might even buy it if we're talking, who else is in the playoffs? The Jazz, right? I might even buy it there, right? But you got a champion, a multiple-time champion, mm-hmm. a defensive player of the year, mm-hmm. an MVP of a finals. You mean to tell me that I'm really just about to take this formula you're giving me that's not working and I'm not going to say nothing?
But that's who Kawhi
Aaron Rodgers did.
Kawhi's personality.
But
he doesn't,
I don't. Key, come on.
But that's just him, though.
Beyond his personality, y'all. Come on now. Don't give me that. Beyond his personality, he is an absolute competitor. He is a mercenary for hire. I don't buy.
That's why I think he's going to step up.
Okay, and I'll give you that. But I don't buy that it's, oh, my coach is telling me this, and I'm a guy that doesn't talk. Ha ha, New Balance commercial laugh. Like, I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all. We talked to Calipari on MSGPM about Derrick Rose. Same kind of personality off the court. But when you step inside that 94-foot rectangle, it's on like popcorn. I don't want to hear nothing about your personality. So if he's going to do it, now it's do or die. But I think that's a little bit disrespectful, because if it's been in his ability to do it, should have been done. Luka is setting the table, inviting guests, making dishes, bringing out dessert. Like, they're just letting this man do whatever he wants.
Okay. Can't have her on the show anymore, because I feel like it's my mom checking me and my sister checking me. Like, I can't even say nothing. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, because I don't want to, you know.
This to me is baffling. And I was in on the Clippers. I picked the Clippers in this series. If they pull up something miraculous, it's very disappointing. And I take nothing away from Luka. I think what is unique to Luka, obviously, is his size. And you hear, I painted my nails last night too, so I'm excited. You hear about Luka's base. Luka got a dunk, you know what I'm saying? You got to get around him on the screen. He has great girth, shall we call it. But this how y'all going out, Clippers?
Yeah, but
are we going to learn something about him, or do we already know?
But I think based on people challenging Kawhi, I think he
it's
says,
it's not all Kawhi, though,
it.
To me. Either. Like, PG, we talked about him as all
and he can
NBA
defend.
Defender, too.
Yeah, but
work
the,
it together.
But the name,
put your screen together.
But it's the name, right? It's the name. It's Kawhi. It's the defensive player of the
who
year.
Put it
it's
together.
The championship. Who put the band together?
So the two of y'all, get up there. You guard the pick. You guard the screen.
Maybe they do
the
Jordan. Maybe they do Jordan Pippen on Kukoc, you know? Maybe they do that. Take him out.
This, you know what? And the other thing.
You watch the officiating when it comes to that, too. Back in Dallas. That's the other thing I'm watching. You know, you always want to watch series. And I'm not the conspiracy theorist, but I'll play one on TV. I feel like this is a series to watch. Well, just to watch, are the Clippers allowed to play a little more physical in this game against Luka? Because he's too tough to defend just straight up. You've got to play him physical. You've seen Luka get frustrated.
Yes.
And he'll get texts because he gets frustrated with no calls. Do we have a little difference in the way the game is officiated tonight, where you can get away with some physicality against him that knocks him off his balance, that gets him frustrated, knocks him off his game, and then gets the Clippers back in this series?
You might. I mean, but it is in Dallas. It's not in L.A. So
that's true.
That's a big plus.
That
is. That's a big plus for the Mavs, because sometimes fans do play a role in officiating in terms of influence. So who knows?
What's that? Do we know what their arena situation is going to be? I mean, Texas.
You
know,
it's Texas.
Yeah, they've been wide open.
What type of question is that? It's no Texas. Pandemic.
So as I mentioned, that game pandemic. You can watch on ESPN TV. The NBA, though, is also on ESPN Radio tonight. Celtics host the Nets. Coverage starts 8 p.m. on most ESPN Radio stations. It's also this weekend. You have MLB on ESPN Radio. Tune into an interleague battle tomorrow as the Astros host the Padres. Coverage begins 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So like we said, we have the games tonight. We had some games last night, a couple of games that were out of control, but one, the late game, Denver-Portland, that comes down to a 121-115 finish. And again, Jokic, fantastic game. Lillard doing all he can, but really pretty much by himself. But the playoffs have been fun. There's been a lot of great stories so far about it. The crowd's a big part of it. Positively and negatively. And joining us right now to talk about all of that, Mike Breen, the voice of the NBA, the Hall of Famer, who joins us right now on the ESPN Hotline. Mike, good morning. You certainly know what that Garden sounded like, and you've heard the Garden at its loudest throughout your career covering the Knicks and also doing games for the NBA. But the crowd thing has been such a positive, just seeing people back in the building celebrating the way they have. These stories, though, Philadelphia, Salt Lake, also at the Garden, it's a shame that those are getting the headlines versus the intensity and the passion that's returning with these crowds.
No, you're right. Good morning, Alan, Monica, Keyshawn. Hey. It is a shame because this is the best time of year, as you just mentioned. So far, there's been so many great stories, team-wise, fan-wise, and individual performance-wise. It's been a tremendous start. But it goes in cycles like this, and now it's time for the teams. And I guess maybe they're out of practice in terms of security dealing with fans and security being on top of it. Everybody just seems to be so happy to have them back. But, you know, it's up to the individual teams to make sure that their security forces, there's a zero tolerance. And not just in terms of throwing stuff, because that's, forget that. I mean, that's automatic. Ejection, banned from the, I think you throw something at a player ever, you should never be allowed in that arena again. But it, you know, some of the stuff that is said to players is just so over the top. And that has to stop too. And it has to be watched closely by not only the security, but I would like to see the fans around the particular player help the security and help the buildings point out who these people are, what they're doing, and they have no business being in there. Just treat people with respect. It's not that hard to do.
Hmm. So well said, Mike. You are obviously one of the most sage and wise voices in the NBA.
That means you're old. She's saying you're old, Mike.
Mike, don't listen to him.
I don't like this.
Don't listen to him, Mike. Don't listen to him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you're wise. And we saw where Trae Young's father and Trae himself, they opted not to press any types of charges. But ultimately, what do you think could remedy this? Does someone need to be made the example or the sacrificial lamb so that fans really get this point?
You know, I don't know if you need a sacrificial lamb. You just need consistency, Monica, where that if somebody throws something, they know they're going to be done. And even quite frankly, with some of the vile stuff that can be said to athletes during the course of a game, again, if they know that they do that, they're out. And there's zero tolerance. That has to be the consistent theme, that it's zero tolerance. And you know, security is not around every single fan that's there. It's hard for them sometimes to see and hear what some of these fans are doing. That's why I said, you know, the fellow fan has to sometimes get in. And I know that's not easy if you're a 5'10", 150-pound fan, and some guy who's 6'5", 240 is screaming, you're not going to tell him to sit down and be quiet because you're going to be afraid that the guy's going to go after you. But I think as a fan, as a group, I've seen many times at games, and this is years ago, where a whole section would turn on a fan because of the offensive language or the vile stuff that they would say to a player. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, strength in numbers, something like that. Maybe it's asking too much for fans to put themselves in harm's way if somebody is belligerent, maybe drunk. But I think that's part of it. But to answer your question, and I apologize for being long-winded, it has to be consistent, zero tolerance, and fans will get the message that if they even try it, they're going to be out.
Well, we know, Mike, a lot has gone on with the Garden in terms of Trae Young. With that being said, how is it that Trae's able to do what he's been able to do the last two games at the Garden in these two playoff games?
Well, Keyshawn, you know, I mean, it's just some players are just wired differently. Some players just mentally are able to handle whatever's thrown at them, regardless of the pressure situation. Now, this young man has been pretty much his entire career, high school, college, because of his you know, slight stature in terms of his size, he's been bullied every single level that he's played on. All right, here's this guy. Oh, he thinks he's so good. Look how small he is. So he's been having teams play physical against him, go after him, and try and take him out throughout his career. So he's used to it, and he has the mental toughness to deal with it. You know, we always talk about talent. We always talk about skill. But what's up in between the years is so often the big difference between whether a player reaches their potential and becomes a star or just kind of relies on their talent. And once in a while, you see that. And some guys just have that mental toughness. This young man has that mental toughness in addition to all the wonderful skills that he has.
Yeah, thriving on a stage like that with that type of fans screaming at him the whole game. Mike Breen joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline tonight. Celtics-Nets, that's the 8:30 game on ABC. Of course, he'll be on that call. And you know, the Celtics are facing, you know, an 0-3 now against a Nets team that just looks indomitable. And the series now moving to Boston. And it's interesting to hear Kyrie Irving sort of – and this is before the fan incidents became headlines. He's suggesting, you know, let's just keep it to basketball. Let's not have any issues there. And but he heads back there. The Nets look like a team that's very tough to beat. And this is an interesting game on many levels because the Celtics just haven't been themselves all year. And there's so many questions now surrounding them, Brad Stevens, and Danny Ainge.
Yeah, no, it's been a really frustrating year for the Celtics and the fans. And you said it, Alan, they haven't been right. There's a few teams that just – they haven't been right all season long. You'd see an occasional spurt of, oh, okay, that's what they're capable, but nothing on a consistent basis. Miami's the same way. Miami's been the same way. And a lot has to do with the circumstances of the season. You know, the Celtics were really, really crushed by COVID. Miami was as well. But between injuries and the COVID stuff and just quite frankly, poor defensive play at times, they've not had one stretch where you know, you really start to believe in the team. It's always like, yeah, they played pretty well, but, man, they just don't look right. And now tonight with the game, not sure if Kemba Walker's going to play. He's questionable coming in. So it's just – it's been one of those years where despite the talent that they have, they just were never able to put it together. And now they're going up against a team that every single game Brooklyn seems to gain more confidence and gain more feel for each other. They can be so unstoppable. It's such a scary team how well they're playing at times, and they're still obviously not at the peak in terms of being comfortable with each other and everybody back together again after all the games that were missed.
All right, Mike, so lots to get into as we continue through the playoffs, but for you in your chair, how – would you describe being back in arenas with fans? I mean, you've managed to give us tremendous energy even in empty arenas, but I know it's been special for you too, right?
Oh, my goodness. It's like, I said this all season long that, you know, I always appreciated the fans and loved the fans. I had no idea how much that I missed them until they came back. The quote that I've said over and over again, it's not my quote, it's one that I read, and I can't remember who said it. But the fans are the oxygen of pro sports, and they just breathe that oxygen into every single game. And if you're at the arena, it's just the most wonderful feeling. You get caught up into it. And even if you're at home watching, you can feel that crowd coming, pouring through your television, for crying out loud. And for me calling the game, you know, I just love watching the players play. But when you have a raucous crowd like the Garden has had the last couple of games, you can't help but get caught up into it. It has been so wonderful, and I just keep saying I will never underappreciate what the fans bring to every game ever again.
Mike, you have been in that building for some of the biggest moments, and you've heard the crowd at its apex. I've been told by people that were in the building on Wednesday that they've never heard it that loud, and it wasn't capacity. Now, it might be just we're caught up in the excitement and all that stuff. It might be. But I got to ask you, like, have you – maybe it's just the atmosphere, whatever it is, but have you – can you compare it to anything in the past, what you heard Wednesday night, that Obi Toppin dunk? I think the roof blew off after that.
Yeah, it's obviously hard to say, oh, this was the loudest crowd I ever heard. But those two games, and not just the victory for the Knicks in game two, game one as well, those are two of the most memorable nights for me ever at Madison Square Garden. The emotion in that building was like nothing I've ever seen. And it wasn't just because, the Knicks had missed the playoffs 8 years in a row. And it wasn't because, they had so many rough years and finally that the fans had somebody to cheer about. And I think a lot of it had to do with the pandemic and people weren't around each other. It's like, I've said this a couple of times, we'll watch those videos of the family reunions of people who haven't seen their mother or father or their siblings in over a year because of COVID. And all of a sudden they get together and the emotions come pouring out and they're so touching and wonderful to watch. What it was like, it was the Knicks family reunion. They hadn't seen each other in over a year. These 15,000 people who have this bond and this incredible love and loyalty for their team. Now they're together of a team that they have fallen in love with because of the way they played. So everything together, it was like the perfect storm. And there, I saw fans crying after the national anthem of game one and when the chants started. And I got emotional as somebody who's been in that building his whole life to see that kind of atmosphere and that kind of emotion from fans that wasn't just basketball. It was about, okay, we are really getting back to normal. This is the life. And now all our Knick family members are with us again. It was a really special night.
Yeah, the word is catharsis. That's certainly what it felt like. Mike, great to talk to you. Thanks so much this morning.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Hall of Famer Mike Breen joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. So coming up, yes, Key, I'll stop talking Knicks because we can talk some Lakers.
Well, you got to talk about a real basketball team, I understand.
And did they unleash the key to repeating as champions? And we'll discuss that after you have this from Goodyear.
Yes, that would be correct. Got it right this time. Goodyear knows when the season starts heating up, so do the possibilities. Playoff hopefuls are beginning to emerge, and contenders are solidifying their position. From here on out, every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to build up to the moment, but it takes everything to capture it. Goodyear, more driven. I'm not rude.
The Lakers take Game 3 from the Suns and take control of this first-round series in the NBA playoffs. Are they on their way to a gentleman's suite? We'll answer that question with me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Baez bounces one to third, picked by Gonzalez. The long toss, it pulls the man off the bag, and Baez trying to stay in a rundown long enough. And now sliding in the plate is safe. I don't believe this. The Cubs just got a run on an amazing play by Javier Baez. Baez is going to go to second base now as the throw gets away. He slides at second. He's safe. The ball bounces away again. The Cubs have scored an unbelievable run on a play by Baez.
That was the call on Cubs Radio Network, but you really had to see it to believe it. They were laughing in the Cubs dugout. That gave the Cubs a 2-0 lead in what turned into a 5-3 win over the Pirates, but you got to hear this again. So Javier Baez hit a routine grounder, right? It should have been an easy out, but instead the throw pulled the first baseman off the bag. Baez decides instead of going through first, he's going to stop and try to go back home. So what did Will Craig do? The first baseman, he chased him. Why? We don't know. Tim Kirkshen called it the stupidest play he's ever seen in 41 years of covering baseball. Pittsburgh Pirates, 2021. The Lakers, they win Game 3 versus the Suns, 109-95. They take a 2-1 lead in their series. That's after dropping the first game of the series. So it's their first playoff win at Staples Center since Game 3 of the 2012 Western Conference Semis. It's been that long. Why? Well, remember, last year they played in the bubble. LeBron, AD, they combined to score or assist on 76 of the Lakers, 109 points, 36 of them in the paint. Yes, that's a key stat. Trio of games for you tonight on ESPN and ABC. First, 7 Eastern, the Knicks travel to Atlanta for their Game 3 against the Hawks in a series even at 1 each. Then 8:30 on ABC, you've got ESPN and also ESPN Radio. You've got the Celtics hosting the Nets with Brooklyn up 2-0 in that series. 9:30 nightcap Eastern on ESPN. Clippers at Mavericks. Dallas holding a commanding 2-0 lead in that series. SportsCenter presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance.
Game 3, Lakers and Suns.
You got to come out from the gate and step on our necks and play our style of basketball.
And Davis throws it down.
No one is matching the aggression of not only LeBron James, but the Lakers.
And the Lakers have a 2-1 lead and looking every bit like the world champions.
Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance.
I see you, LBJ.
LeBron with the point, yes.
Yeah, he was pointing at me.
Oh, was he?
Pointing at you.
Okay.
When are you coming back to Staples? That's what he's wondering.
No, he knows. He knows what's up.
Alan Hahn, Monica McNutt in with Key here today. Let's discuss that game and more with Tim Legler, our ESPN NBA analyst, who joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Legs, good morning. So just watching the game last night, it really stands out for the Lakers that the object was to get Anthony Davis back in the paint, no longer playing like a small forward, more like a big man. And that pick and roll looked unstoppable.
Yeah, it did. And look, give him credit because you want to see how teams are going to answer the bell when they find themselves backed into a corner. The Lakers understood, they lose game 3. You talk about turning up the screws of pressure on your team. They knew that was going to happen, so they came out and they played to their strengths. They can physically overwhelm Phoenix with whoever they want to put on LeBron James and Anthony Davis as long as those two guys are committed to getting the shots that are good for them, playing from the mid-range in. That's what LeBron and Anthony Davis did. They know there's no great matchup for them that Phoenix can put up against them to slow them down even. And they committed to play that way for 48 minutes. It was a show of force. It was a show of power. It was a show of talent. That's what the Lakers put on. And the other problem right now for Phoenix, the Lakers have 3 guys, if you include Dennis Schroeder with the 2 stars, that can basically win any matchup. They can create offense at any time. And all 3 of those guys did that in Game 3. When you look at Phoenix, you have Devin Booker, and you're counting on Chris Paul to be that guy. Obviously, he's not right. When I take a look at how stark it is, though, guys, you're talking about a guy in Chris Paul who 8 times in his career has averaged 20 points a game for an entire playoff run. He has 20 points total through 3 games. He normally takes 5 to 6 threes a game for his playoff career. He's taken 1 in this series. He just doesn't have the ability because of that shoulder to be himself as a scorer. Hey, it's great that he can be a floor leader and he's tough and he's smart and all of those things. That's great. But at the end of the day, they're going to need 20 to 25 points out of Chris Paul to go with what Devin Booker brings them, to give them a chance against what the Lakers are doing because of that length. They need another guy to go get offense, and there is nobody else on this roster outside of Devin Booker that can give you that besides Chris Paul. So that's really what this series comes down to. Unless there's some sort of miraculous turnaround for Chris Paul physically, they're in deep trouble here because they need that offensive production out of him. The Lakers have all three of their best offensive players rolling. Phoenix is really doing it with one guy, and it's just not going to be enough, obviously.
And for those that are listening, all Legs said basically it's a wrap.
That's
really right, Legs. It's a wrap. The Lakers got this one in the bag. You know, that's all he said. It's a wrap. Legs, let me ask you this, though. Did AD finally figure it out? After game one, has he finally figured it out?
Yeah, he looked like it. I mean, look, you know, he was determined to get what he wanted to get. And sometimes Anthony Davis, throughout his career, as talented as he is, because he is such a good perimeter player, you know, at 6'11", 7 feet, you know, sometimes he will play on the perimeter a little too much, and it plays into the hands of what you want him to do defensively. Because he does have that finesse element to his game. He was committed in this one to say, you know what, I'm going to dominate you from the mid-range in, 15 feet and in toward the rim. I'll get what I want. And then, look, if you want to back off of me, I'll take the occasional three-pointer or the occasional 20-foot jump shot. But that's not what his mindset was. And he has to understand, you use the power game, the post-ups, the mid-range ISOs, the short baseline ISOs. You use those to set up your perimeter game when you want to take that. That's the right approach. That's what Anthony Davis did. And when those two guys play, you know, with that kind of determination to gut you in the paint, there's really not much you're going to be able to do about it, because then you've got to commit extra defenders. A team that's a mediocre three-point shooting team becomes much more effective, because you're committing extra defenders to the lane means that all those perimeter guys that are very streaky, well, when you get a little extra time because there's that much space, now you're going to be a more effective and more efficient three-point shooter as well. But it's all predicated by what LeBron and Anthony Davis do in the paint, and that's where AD played. So, yeah, he certainly figured it out for game three. Let's see if he continues with that same mindset going forward, because the Phoenix Suns can still make this incredibly interesting if they can get game four, but I don't see it happening if you don't see something dramatic out of Chris Paul.
Legs, it seems to me that the Miami Heat need to kind of wave the white flag against the Milwaukee Bucks right about now. What have you made of Giannis's performance thus far in the playoffs against Miami?
Well, here's the thing about Giannis. As great as he is, the one thing that he is susceptible to, guys, is getting him into a close game. If you can force the Bucks into a one-possession game inside of 3 minutes, just, I mean, keep it close, stay within striking distance, now you start to put the pressure on a guy that has a hard time figuring out how to beat you in those situations, because he's going to go to some sort of a dribble ISO game. You can back off of him. You can commit extra guys to the paint. He feels the pressure of having to get a bucket in those spots as an MVP, and that's when he's gotten himself in trouble. When you're up 20 points in the second quarter and you've got a 30-point game in the third quarter, you have completely eliminated all of the pressure on Giannis Antetokounmpo. So the Heat haven't even been able to stay within striking distance to see what Giannis is going to do. Has he improved in terms of, you know, can he beat you a different way than he has in the past? Or, more importantly to me, can the Bucks figure out that in those situations, if they find themselves there, Chris Middleton's a great option because of his ability to make a mid-range shot. You know, Drew Holiday, you picked him up for a reason. He's a great option in those situations because he can make a perimeter shot if that's what the defense is giving you. That's a struggle for Giannis, but to this point, the Heat haven't put the Bucks in that situation, so we're not going to know that probably until the next round. But look, with Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler Hero all struggle at the same time, you're going to have a problem. And that's what's going on with the Bucks, who are an elite defensive team, and they have absolutely seen chum in the water, and they are trying to get this thing over quickly. Be very surprised if this doesn't end up a sweep.
All right, Legs, chum in the water. I like that. I'm gonna use that. The Dallas Mavs might be seeing such things in the water in terms of the way they've been able to play the Clippers. Han, I'm stealing your question from earlier.
Go.
Are we going to learn about the Clippers tonight? Or are they who we think they are, Legs, in the negative way, you mind you?
Well, look, I think they are who we think they are.
Uh-oh.
And there's a big reason, you know, I didn't really give them the benefit of the doubt all season. I don't care what Paul George had to say, and he talked about how this is going to be different. Last year, you know, in the bubble, I was struggling, you know, mentally being into it, and he was talking about some of his struggles he was going through, and it really played into why he played so poorly, particularly in that closeout game against Denver and how they lost that 3-1 lead. He said it was all going to be different this time around. I'm not blaming him for what happened in game two. He played very well. Kawhi did what he needed to do. But to me, this is a team that desperately needs vocal, demonstrative leadership. When your best two players are this chill and this laid back and this calm, cool, and collected, I do think it is now something that the Dallas Mavericks are looking at and saying, we've got these guys. They don't fear them. They don't think that they can be taken out of what they want to do offensively. You know, that was the Clippers when they put this thing together originally was, man, when you got Patrick Beverley, Kawhi, Paul George, they're going to just take people out of what they want to run in the half court. Dallas doesn't feel that way. Luka Doncic is doing whatever he wants to do. This team is confident and comfortable because they don't smell a toughness coming from the other side. And I think part of it is the lack of emotion that their best two players play with. And there's something to be said, guys, about leading by example. But sometimes you need more than that. I was hoping Rajon Rondo could add that to this team because certainly he's going to play with a vocal quality to his game. He's going to point things out. He's not afraid to let guys know where they need to be on the court. But I just think it's swallowed up by how cool Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are. And right now, they need more than that. This needs to be an alley fight in game three, and I just don't know if that's the makeup of this team. And if that's the case, give me that the most highly skilled player in the series, and that's Luka Doncic, because he is controlling it, because he's going where he wants to go. He is not afraid of getting hit. Let's see if the Clippers can turn it into an alley fight, because if they can't, this very well could be a sweep. And think about how shocking that is with the kind of talent we're talking about on the Clippers roster. They've got one game to make this a series, and it is tonight.
And we'll see if the officiating allows that to happen as well. As you know, that's a big factor in it, no doubt about it. But Tim Legler going Dennis Green on us. They are who we thought they were. We shall see. Legs, thanks so much as always. All the best.
All right, Legs.
Thanks a lot.
All right, Tim Legler on the Goodyear Hotline. So coming up next, the last time this week, caller roulette, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's after Key has this from Straight Talk.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like a walk-off home run in the ninth inning good? Okay, maybe not that damn good, but pretty darn good with Straight Talk. You can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month. Up to 50% less than the other guys. Plus, no contract, all on America's best network. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Bucket. It's time for Caller Roulette.
You know the rules. Don't ask us how we are.
We're good.
I don't want to hear any of that.
Get in, say your name, and make your point, and ask the question.
888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. And don't mess it up.
Don't mess it up.
Especially you, Line 5.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are ready to go. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Monica McNutt joining us for the day, and she is as cold.
It's cold in here. What's wrong with y'all?
That was just a way for you to show like Georgetown. Coaches.
Listen.
You can't hear me?
I don't know what you're saying.
It's players. It's players. This right? Oh, I got my towel better. Oh, my lipstick. Sorry. Too much. But, y'all need a girl on the show in the morning.
You just wanted me to talk more about your Georgetown career.
For the record, not really.
She's, number two all-time in scoring?
I wish. No, not quite.
Leading. She's number one in three-point percentage?
Actually, my teammate and recent mastered from Georgetown, current assistant coach at the Las Vegas Aces and Georgetown assistant coach, Sugar Rogers, holds that title. Sug, shout out to you, girl. I love you. And she wrote a book.
But in popularity, you told us that you are above Sugar, though, in Georgetown history.
All right.
Say that.
Call the roulette, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's spin the wheel. Line two.
Hey, this question is particularly for Han and Monica because Keeve is a little biased. Mm-hmm. When I watch the Knicks, they are obviously the least talented offensive team in the entire playoffs, and they win games with grit and effort and good coaching in the Garden. But we fall in love with limited players. Monica, what would you give up for a Devin Booker, a Spider Mitchell, a Bradley Beal, or someone like that? Because I'm not a Knicks fan that falls in love with limited players.
Oh, man. What? That's quite the group of names. Fix your face. Wow. A haul. I'd give up a lot. I mean,
Donovan Mitchell, you're going with RJ Barrett for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right? If you're the Jazz, it's RJ Barrett.
Yeah.
It's got to be one other young player, probably.
Quick, I would think.
Quickly.
Yeah, and a bunch of picks.
And then you've got a bunch of picks. So it's this year, one of this year's first, and got to be a future first.
What
too.
I like about that caller is that you mentioned all my guys under 28.
Yeah.
And none of these over 30 guys. So
what's wrong with an over 30?
Hey, listen, we're building for multiple years. I ain't got time for 2 years and an injury, and I'm not what I used to be.
Well, you know what? I want everybody to tune into an NL East battle Sunday as the Mets host the Braves, an old school National League battle. Old people like that. Presented by Credit Karma. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app at 7 p.m. on Eastern. Because back in my day, we
there
loved old school matchups.
That's not baseball.
Old people. Let's spin it. That's not baseball. Line four.
Hey, guys. This is a question for Key. Just wanted to ask, how real of a chance is it to Devin Booker to the Lakers? Thank you.
I think there's always a possibility, especially with a guy like Devin Booker, who spends a lot of time in Los Angeles and hangs
maybe
out around
time.
That whole.
I was like, is that good for him?
Yeah.
No, but guys relish those moments. And Phoenix is close, but big cities like New York and L.A., when you become a star, you just want to be in that environment.
Hey,
and he has that personality.
The real scale, 1 to 10, 10 being the realest, 1 being that's a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it could possibly be a 10 at some point.
Okay. All
right. At some point. That's the key.
At some point.
Spin it.
Take one for some reason.
Well, it has to land on one. Luckily, it did. Line one.
I saw it.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is DeAndre in Indianapolis.
Say, it's who?
DeAndre in Indianapolis.
Oh, DeAndre. You got that?
DeAndre in Indianapolis.
Told you.
Hey, man, I just got a question for y'all. Yeah, how would y'all think the Clippers would be looking right now if they had went on and went out and got Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook.
Much better.
Yeah, I think Chris Paul.
What's the
Chris
second
Paul.
Name?
Westbrook.
Oh, wow.
No, much better with Chris Easily. Paul because Chris Paul going to give him that some of that cachet that they missing,
Westbrook's
which is that
gonna give
leadership.
That,
they need a lion.
Westbrook yelling at everybody, and y'all soft, and I'm not going out like this. Yeah,
Russ
go.
Might cause problems there.
Blow it all up.
See, but that was
– CP, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, go ahead. Finish. No,
CP is that guy, that leader that they needed to galvanize the team.
That lion, like you said.
But Russ doesn't cause problems because the other two are neutral personalities.
No,
they just
but
get in
Russ
line.
Is cool.
That's what I'm saying.
He's just going to give him that rear.
Yeah, like, we agree, but Han says he might cause problems because he's too much.
Well, I would think he'd be pretty intense about, like, you're not showing up and let him know.
They need that.
That's a PG play. But
that probably wouldn't work. Leandre was his name?
Yeah, Leandre.
I thought it was DeAndre. But
no, Leandre. Mother wanted to call him Leon and then DeAndre, and then she put it together.
Leon.
We do that, man. I keep telling you that.
Leon and Andre, but I like it so much. Let's.
Yeah, she put it together.
Now, would you say it's – is there an apostrophe there? Or is
no,
it
just it's just straight
L-E
up.
E
it's just,
and then the
it's
capital
just straight
B?
Up Leandre.
L-E-O-N-D-R-E.
How do you spell it, Leandre?
I think he's gone. Like,
no,
L-E-A-N-D-R-E.
Leandre.
Is the A capitalized?
It's an apostrophe capital.
See, I think that gives you swag.
No, but it's
cool. He said there's an apostrophe.
No, I'm not saying it's not swag. It's just that.
Leandre, did your
she thought
your
about
name?
Leon, and then she said Dre, and put it together.
Is your name an uncle and a cousin your mom's favorite people? How you get your name?
No, my dad's name was Leonard, and he didn't like it, so he made Leandre.
See? It's always putting it together, though.
It's always a reason. I've always said this. Your kids are brand. You give them a brand. Their name is a brand.
We got some names. That's all I can tell you.
I got Monica.
No, that's cool, though. That's normal.
Hey, I got McNutt, more importantly. You know? Shout out to my dad and my granddad and my great-granddad.
Thank you
for filling in for Jay.
Yeah, shout out to you, Monica.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Did you have fun?
He's well-rested.
I did have fun.
He's well rested.
Hey, say it with me, Keyshawn. Wellness and balance. It's
wellness
real.
And balance. It's real. This weekend, everybody enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
And be safe
for sure. And go Knicks!